Okay, we discussed over here all different ideas. The concept of Pisaim. We discussed the three mansions, the Malach, the first Malach. We mentioned the second Malach, the Malach called the Malach Abris. We mentioned the Adon, who is the Adon, either refers to Hashem or refers to the Melech HaMashiach. We discussed the different terms. There are three terms mentioned in this pasuk: the word Mevakesh, Mevakshim, Chafetzim, and what was the third one? That's it, just two? And there are two different terms describing our desire, our yearning for this event to occur. Okay, so we went through a lot of ideas, and now let's see what Chazal say. Everything is Chazal, but here is the source, right from the source, Mishnas Rabbi Eliezer. And recall what this Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer?
No.
It's a different. It's a different medrash.
You're thinking of
Pavlos
Rav Nosson.
No, I'm thinking about
that is the one that
Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer. Yeah, yeah.
Oh no, it's not Pirkei.
It's Mishnas. So where does Mishnas Rabbi Eliezer fit into the spectrum of the midrashim?
Later, I assume.
Okay, it's obviously midrash. We should one day spend time learning all the midrashim.
I mean, I would assume it's a later collection. There are many of those.
The primary Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer is pretty much like bread and butter. That's from the early ones, which is essential. So here nishlech malachi pina derech lefanoi ha'ovos kishohoi ha'kadosh baruch hu mitzavestam lefames me'eretz le'eretz lo haya mavtichon mahu oise lohen. When Hashem told the others to move around, like Avraham Avinu, and then we have who else was told to move? Yaakov. Yaakov had to leave Eretz Yisrael. He had to go down back to Bavel, to Aram Naharaim, to get married, to work for 20 years by Lavan. So in the Avos, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them they have to move, Hashem did not promise how things would work out, if things would work out good. Why? Because they were people of faith, and it's not necessary for Hashem to give them promises that everything will work out just fine, because they naturally had emunah in Hashem. Other prophets, Hashem had encouraged them and promised them everything will work out. Have no worries. Yeah.
There's a great big difference. The others didn't have to preach to a difficult people. The Nevi'im needed something they could bring to their audience.
Okay, so you think of it when it says over the Nevi'im, you're understanding that when it says Hashem spoke to the Nevi'im, it means the Nevi'im, the message to the people. It doesn't mean a message to the Navi himself. You know, Navi also needs to have economic planning. When I went to rabbi school, which never panned out for me, Baruch Hashem, but we had a course in rabbinic training, the practical side of rabbinics. And a major theme of the program is you better take care of yourself. You better make sure you have a pension. You better make sure you have health insurance. You better make sure you have life insurance. You better make sure you have a contract. Don't be many rabbanim, young rabbanim, they're very idealistic. They go into a job, they're naive, and they're idealistic. And they go into a job without proper preparation legally and financially for the long term. Okay, a person gets a job working in industry, working, you know, in a lawyer, a doctor, a computer programmer, you name it. So there's certain industry standards of, okay, money's put away in pension, and there's this, and there's this, and there's insurance, v'chulu, v'chulu. And when a person goes in the rabbinic world, it's not set up like that. Most shuls are mom and pop shops. You know, and they have a couple of balabat, and they get together, and they make a shul, and they hire a rabbi, they pay him a salary, and a lot of the things that are ordinarily taken care of in the secular world, in industry are not properly established in the rabbinic world. Especially, you know, especially today, a lot of these shuls anyway are you know, privately owned, and people are independently wealthy, and the people that are not, you know, they're in a very difficult, they're in a very dangerous situation. So they train people what to do. They train, they know they have a big training program, they tell them, they make a very strong emphasis that you go into a job, make sure there's a contract, make sure you have insurance, make sure you have this, make sure you have that. And so Rabbi Chol, I thought, we have a misunderstanding. When I read this Chazal, I thought that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving encouragement to the prophet. Being a prophet is a non-profitable job. You don't make a lot of money being a prophet. There's not much profit in prophecy. And therefore, Hashem needs some good men.
Only posthumous things they sell your writings.
What?
Only posthumously they sell your writings.
It's useless. You have to criticize the people.
And who gets the money? Who gets the money? not your family, that's for sure. Who's getting money? No, who gets the money for Eve? Where will the how many volumes of Eve? This art scroll give a commission to every safer Eve they sell? Don't you think the descendants?
Yeah, he's got money over.
Don't you think the descendants of Eve? Don't you think they want a commission on? No, art scroll they publish Eve. But what about Malachi's descendants? Did he get commission for every safer that was bought? What's going on over here? This is not fair. Okay,
what happened?
We got a problem. So I thought when I read this pasuk, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was giving the prophets, listen, Hashem needs some good men. Hashem needs some people to help him out. Okay? He needs people to do his work on this world. So Hashem says, listen, you do my work, I'll take care of you. Yirmiyahu cursed the day he was born. Yirmiyahu, they made assassination attempts on Yirmiyahu. They threw him into the dungeon, into quicksand. Okay, he was half dead. He was a miracle that he survived. They plucked out the hair on his beard. They tried to poison him. They put in front of him food. They invited him to, you know, a dinner, a gala dinner in honor of some organization. They served him a plate of food. And Hashem came to him in the middle of the dinner and says, Yirmiyahu, don't eat the food in front of you. It's poison. They're trying to kill you. And you know, he never let that, that was the one that was that, he never let, what's the expression? He never
let down his guard.
He never, but he never forgave them for that one. Like, when they threw him into the dungeon, into the pit, into the quicksand, and he was hanging on for a mamash by a thread for it, it doesn't seem like it really affected him.
Yeah.
And, yeah?
I was saying, the Koshi who took him out, He's one of the
Olam Haba, the servant, the slave. There's a slave that saved him. We learned this once upon a time. You know, those things, like, it didn't really, you don't see in Tanakh that it really bothered him when they plucked out his beard. They tied him up and they plucked out the hair on his beard. It didn't really, you don't find such a reaction. He really went berserk. A whole parak, Mamashi went berserk, was when they poisoned him. They put in front of him a plate of food. He was about to eat, and Hashem came to him suddenly and told him, don't eat the food, it's poison. That, for some reason, that episode, he never lived down. He went berserk over it, because the whole parak responding, cursing them out, like, Mamash, grace of clawless. You try to murder me? And what about when they threw you into the dungeon? And what about when they plucked out your beard? What about they did this and this? That doesn't bother you. When they tried to poison you with this, he really went it down. So I thought, Bechol, that these psukim over here is where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving mechazek the prophets. I'll take care of you. You do my work. You work for me. And I'll give you a pension. I'll give you bonuses. You don't have to pay taxes. You don't have to pay for water. You don't have to pay for garbage removal.
It's a possibility. It just struck me the other way.
Okay, but Rabbi Chol is saying that's not the pshat. Rabbi Chol is saying that's not the pshat. Rabbi Chol is saying the pshat in the pasuk is that when the Nevi'im are speaking, they're not speaking about themselves. They're speaking to Klal Yisrael. And the message that Hashem, and when it says here that Hashem gave the haftochis, these are not haftochis to the prophets. These are haftachas to Klali Yisrael. Okay, so we have a disagreement understanding what this chazal means. Let's read it one more time. Again, what gives on page 891. I don't know that's the correct nikud. Eretz le'eretz me eretz le'oretz. I don't know why it says that me eretz le'eretz. Bame madlikin uva mo ein madlikin. Me eretz le'eretz travel from one.
That's a mishnah.
Mishnei kibu is different. Me eretz le'eretz. This was probably you should know. This nikud was generated by the computer. I use this program sometimes. There's incredible technology today. You take a whole block of text, you put it into the computer, and it automatically puts all the Nikud in for you. And they get it, I would say, 95% correct. It's unbelievable. 95%, maybe 90%. And then you just go over it, and you make a few changes here and there, and also you can teach it. It's incredible technology. Auto Nikud.
You'll get your comments in a moment anyway.
Auto Nikud. So I have no doubt in my mind that this entire set of art scroll, what, you think someone sat and put in the Nikud every single word? I don't know. I can't imagine they put the Nikud in. They put the whole thing into the computer, and the computer spit it out, and they had editors sitting around and going through it very carefully and making the changes. It's a world of a difference doing it yourself, editing it versus doing it yourself. In any event, over here is so different. When Avraham, Yitzhak didn't go anywhere, right? So what does it mean? The Avos, they went, they Eretz, the Eretz. Where did Yitzhak go? You'll say he went to Har HaMoria, the Akedah?
No, he went around.
Yitzhak? But the Eretz, within Eretz Yisrael, the Eretz.
He just had Elisha. They got put Elisha on him, that's all, really.
Okay, so over here. Okay, so over here we are. Over here he's going over here from land to land. Lo haya maftichan mahu oisel lohen. Hashem gave no guarantees he'll live to the next day, and yet the others did whatever Hashem told them to do because they had a natural innate emuna in Hashem. B'nei ma b'nei shachoy b'alei emuna avos shor hanavim kama haftaches hiftichan the other prophets. Hashem had to give them chizuk. That's the key word of our generation. Chizuk. Everyone's looking for chizuk. Hashem gave them promises, gave them chizuk.
Yeah, see, it says
b'nei
mo, so you got your
oh, b'nei mo, okay. Ula halavai, yaminu b'nei doiran halavai. I'm now with the fourth line in the Likudei Shas. Four lines down. Ula halavai, yaminu b'nei doiran halavai. This is a right to Rav Mechol is saying that their generation, so it's a proof to Rav Mechol's approach.
Right.
Halavai, the generation who they are speaking to will obey, will listen to their haftarah, will have faith. Kamo hiftiach es avasin v'mitzrayim. How many promises did, kamo hiftiach es avasin v'mitzrayim el eretz zovas chol v'dvash. V'chein b'abidbar. In the desert, the Aval Pichem Choyu B'Safet, even though the Bashmachi promised Klalis from the desert that Yamtemi to the land of Eretz Zavas and Lavash, there's so many Sukkim, and yet they always had their doubts. Kamba Hifti Chonu Af Lanu, Hidden Yishlech Malachi. So this is why the Likudei Shas is citing this pasuk, because here it says as well, it's very interesting Likudei, it's a small point, but it's very significant. This pasuk at the very, very end of Nevi'im. This parak cannot emphasize enough that this is the end of Tanakh. We're here coming now to the end of Tanakh. Now you'll tell me, Divrei Hayomim is the end of Tanakh. Yes, that's also true, but there are many ends. There are many ends. There's not just one end. In the very, you'll tell me, Megillas Esther is the end. Right? Megillas Esther, they always say that Megillas Esther is the last book. It's the last sefer chronologically in what was written during the time in between the Chumbay. It's not really the last.
Actually, the Nevi'im, during the time of the
what?
Ezra
Nechemiah is later than Megillas Esther.
Right. Yeah.
So the question is, what exactly was
Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi were also during the second day of Hamikdash?
Everyone
after
is,
Esther.
Right. Everyone, but everyone, if you go, when you go through each holiday, Megillas Esther, you learn Malachi. and you learn Ezra Nehemiah. Everyone is taking credit for being the last. You know what it's like? Yeshiva dinners. I'm telling you, it's not a joke. Every single yeshiva in Brooklyn at their dinner claims they were the first yeshiva in America.
Right.
It's not a joke. And why are you? We were the first yeshiva. Eitz Chaim, there's nothing to discuss. You go to Torah with us, we were the first dinner. We were the first yeshiva in America. Go to Chaim Berlin, all you guys, you don't need to. We're the first yeshiva in America.
Everybody knows it was Sakura.
What?
Everybody knows it was Sakura.
Every single yeshiva, this is not a joke, the Liyotzim and Aklal, the major yeshivas, will tell you we were the first yeshiva to appear in America.
So in Navi,
you want to say the Malachi was right. The last. Uchara, right. Yeah, right. That,
right.
Yeah.
But so, Suvin, maybe Megillas Esther was the last.
Oh, no. So now, because Megillas, so that's the problem. Megillas Esther, the event took place before Divrei Hayyamim, because Divrei Hayyamim records.
That was the last of the Suvin.
Divrei Hayyamim is also Kesuvim, but some want to say is that it was not finalized. Who finalized Megillas Esther? Did Esther finalize it? Did Mordechai? Okay, there's a big topic of discussion. Or was it finalized? It took a long time.
At least
time.
A year after.
A year is not enough.
When was it canonized? Which is during the Antichrist.
Right. So the canonization is really includes edits. When you say it was canonized and became part of the Chof Dal Sirei Tanakh, it automatically means we're not accepting until we make a few little changes to our liking. I mean, these are all big mysteries. But there's no question when you go through certain Sfarim, this is the last. You can only have one last. Well, it's just like a yeshiva dinner, everyone is the first. You can only have one first. Obviously, there are different dimensions to being last. Not everything is, etched in stone, chronological. There are different dimensions to what is called last, and certainly Malachi is in the lead for being the last. Because as we said in the very beginning, at least according to our understanding, that Malachi died 40 years into the Churban Bayis Sheni. Is there anything that Megillas Esther happened how many years before that? 100 years? Almost before I don't know. Megillas Esther. No, not much before.
Less.
80 years? How many?
Megillas Esther ends in 3405. Malachi died in 3448, so it's not
that much. Okay, not that much. Okay, but they're all competing. There's a lot going on. And if you have a pasuk here in Malachi, it was 18 years before the 18 years before the Binyan Bayis Sheni. So therefore, 40 years plus 18 is 58. That means,
give or take a couple of years, but the Megillah starts in either 3392 or 3395, Mishnah Shalosh Shemalcho, and so on and so forth. And so how long did it take? How long was Esther Queen before the story took effect?
And also, who says that just because Malachi may have died in 40 years, who says that the prophecy that he related took place the day of his death? It could be that he was retired for many years. It took place when he was a young man, the very beginning of the Bayis Sheni. There are a lot of questions. Just because we have a tradition, I'm willing to make a bet that tradition is probably also questionable. When exactly did Malachi die? There's a range of time. So I presented you from this very, I think it's a very, very authentic presentation of history. And he says over and over, Malachi died 40 years into the Bayis Sheni.
Okay.
But who says that's the only it?
Well, what is
he talking about
from the completion or the beginning of the building? That's a big difference also in time.
I don't know. Got to go back to the records.
You're right.
What I was trying to point out is that could be there's a difference between the Vium and the Suva. The Vium, it could be, a slam dunk case that doesn't need any special, nothing having the vua. There's no question about it. By suvim ruach hakodesh. So there, the Gemara says maro chachomim. It's a different level. There they had to see something to canonize it.
But so when did that happen?
Is a dunk is a slam dunk thing.
Not necessarily.
What you're talking about.
I mean, I don't know.
Okay, I'm just putting that
this,
baby,
this,
you know.
This is a big topic of discussion. I don't, there's no one opinion there. There's obviously, there's a lot of...
You can't ask the question of Leviam from, you know, from Leviam.
Right, okay, Yechanam, it's a different set. Okay, and anyway, over here it says over here, Halavaya Aminu, and this, so this pasuk is a very important point. This pasuk, Kineni Shalech Malachi Ufina Derech Lefonayu, Upis, this is a haftacha from Hashem through a Navi that there will be a geula. This is a haftacha. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov did not need haftachas. That's what it says.
That's what God says. That's what the pshat is on that.
Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, I don't have to explain. And natural emun. Here, you need chizuk. Okay, so where do you need chizuk? So you have in Chumash, and you have in the Nevi'im, the early Nevi'im. And now, this is the last. Malachi is the last, and in his nevuah, the end of his nevuah, he's giving another haftach. I guarantee you're going to go into Eretz Yisrael. I will send a malach, and he will clear the road, and he will suddenly come. The Odoin asher atem mevakshim, the malach abet asher atem chafetzim. This event will happen. Another haftach, and this is the last haftacha, before the sealing of prophecy. And that's that's significant, because something that happens at the very end, there is a very, it's very relevant for us, because we relate to Malachi more than we relate to all the other prophets, because we are at the end and Malachi is at the end, and obviously what he's saying is very relevant for us who are holding at this point in time. Okay, now that concludes this section. Now we're going to go on to the next psukim, pasuk beis. Pasuk beis, umi nechalkel es yom bo'o. Nechalkel chayim b'chesed. Okay, it's fresh in our minds, the nusach atzilah. What we learned yesterday, the list pasuk above is like the haftorah. V'yamar soilu, soilu panu dorech. And here we have nechalkel chayim b'chesed. Okay, to sustain, it's a very powerful word. Umi mechalkel es yom bo'oy. Who will be the one that will sustain the day when Mashiach comes or Hashem comes? Umi ho'oymed beheiro oisoy. Who will stand to bear witness? The word beheiro oisoy, it means to see. We have to analyze the exact grammatical form of this word in a moment. Ki hu ke'esh mit soref. When Hashem comes, and when his angels come, it is purified fire. What do you have such an expression? Uchavoidis mechabesim. Boiris is a chemical. Okay, boiris is over here. Not a chemical.
It's like a detergent.
What's it called in English? What's it called in English?
Soap.
It's some type of chemical. Soap. Boiris. Rad, the Mitzvah of Sion says in Esef Hamanakeh. It's a grass. Lie. Okay, that's not going to help me. I have to go to pomegranate.
It's
blue
like,
ribbon to learn.
It's like
and that's
paper.
The truth.
walk into a... I think it's an art school Gemara, and you walk into a supermarket and say, can I have some fenugreek, please?
No,
read the art school footnote. Give me all the funny things that it says there. Saffron, fenugreek, lie.
It says elsewhere that when you... To whiten the sin, let's
right.
Say, to wipe away.
Kiboidis. It's a detergent. A detergent. It's a modern Hebrew word. It's soap. In modern Hebrew, boris is soap. Doesn't the boris mean soap in Hebrew?
Yeah, well, because it's based in lime.
It's based in lime. It's a soap. Fine, but over here it says, boris shame Esav Hamad, and the Mitzudo Sion. In the Mitzudo, he says, Esav Manaka Bechain, the Sarbi Loch Boiris, I will add detergent. Okay, so back to the mechabesim loshon kibus. Who will be able to witness, to be witness the Gilui Hashchina? The Gilui Hashchina is going to be fire mitzoref. Mitzoref means purified. It's not your ordinary fire. It's not like over in the Mitzudos Tzio, and he writes inyan zichuch mehasig, the removal of the impurities. K'moi tziraf ticha v'loy v'chosef. I have purified you. Without, I don't know what that means, that pasuk, but it means over here is something basically is, it's going to be, it's going to, not everyone will merit to be on the level to witness the Gilui Shechina. If you can't take the heat, get out of the kitchen. Right? When the Shechina is going to come, who can say that they're going to be able to be in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Let's see further. Pasuk Gimel, V'yashav Mitzarefim B'Tahar Kesef. Those who purify, two expressions, Mitzaref U'Mitahar Kesef, those who purify, and two words which mean the same thing, silver, V'tihar, these people who are in, this is their profession, V'tiharas B'nei Levi, they will purify the B'nei Levi, V'zikak Oysam, another word which means purification, for a grand total of three words, Mitzoreif, Mitaher, and Zikak, Kazohov, Vichach, Kosef, like gold and silver. And we have a problem because the people over here that are doing this, they're not, that's not their expertise. The Pasuk says the people who are Mitzoreif and Mitaher, Kesef. So what are they doing?
Yeah, having Kiyune, that's how one stands, it begins, Kiyune, Kesef, Mitzoreif.
Mitzoreif, right. That's right. So over here it says they're going to purify them, Kazohov, Vichach, Kosef. Excuse me. You don't have a license to purify gold. The pasuk begins says that your credentials are purification of silver. There is no doubt that it's a different melacha. People who purify silver have no license to operate to purify gold. It has to be that there's a major difference between the purification of silver and the purification of gold. And it says to the only biyasha adult and himself that are kesef, they will be recruited. They will be recruited v'tihar es b'nei Levi v'zikak oysam ka'azoha v'cha kosef v'choyu la'Hashem, and they will be la'Hashem magishay mincha b'tztaka, the b'nei Levi, which refers to Sheva Levi, the v'chaim, they will bring close a mincha b'tztaka with righteousness. Okay, we'll see, let's see how far we should go. Okay, let's just do these two psukim for now. Let's do one more pasuk. The Arvel Hashem, let's a little bit more. The Arvel Hashem in Chasid of Yerushalayim will be pleasant. It will be sweet Hashem, the meal offering of Yehud of Yerushalayim, ki me'olam, u'cheshanim kadmonios. Okay, let's do these three psukim together. This obviously going to have Torah of Shabbos. I know we've already entered into the first pasuk of the Shabbos. Let's go back to the Mitzudos David. Back on page 891. Pasuk Beis Gimel and Aleph.
Yom Kippur Katan, we always say that. Adishay Mincha
B'Tztaka. Oh, that's right. You're right. Yom Kippur Katan. Right, you have good memory. Adishay Mincha B'Tztaka. One deputy. That is correct. Let's go back to the previous page in the Mitzudos David. Mitzudos page 890. Pasuk Beis. Umi Mechal Kel. Liyuchal L'Spol Esyon Bayi Hamalcha Mafanecha Derech. Who will be able to bear? Who will be able to survive. There is poetic repetition. If the malach that mentioned above pasuk aleph is going to be a fire, will be like a fire that has been purified. It's like as a far hamitzoreif. He explains, it's not an adjective. It's an adverb. The fire is being mitzoref. See, I thought when I read this, it means that the fire is not your ordinary fire. Your fire is the most intense. Like, you know, there are different colors of fire. Gas, your range is blue. Why is it blue? Because, I mean, it all depends what it's burning. And, gasoline produces a more yellowish fire. And you know, every type of wood is not as if every type of a combustible object produces a different color and a different degree of heat. No two items have the same degree of combustion. There's always a waste product which causes there to be pollution in the fire, which causes a color. Maybe see black. Black is no good. Maybe it's black. That means there's an abundance of impurities that are coming out from what you're burning. and it's white, all different, the whole chachma, fire is an incredible chachma. So I feel that when the middle of the year is, and I'm not giving up my interpretation, we'll see in Farshim, so I thought it meant that this fire is the most intense fire that can exist. And what is, now the question will then be, what is burning? What is the root of the fire, the source, the fuel that produces a fire that you can say is has an intensity that is above and beyond the standard fire that you produce when you light a match or when you burn gas or whatever it is? So that has to be understood. But that's not what it says in the Mitzvahs. So we cancel our interpretation. What it says in the Mitzvahs is the Eish that is now in the process of purifying silver. That's what it's going to be like.
You say purifying what?
Silver. That's what he writes. It's burning the impurities. Detergent, which removes the stain of garments. Likewise, the malach that will appear in times of Mashiach will destroy all of those evildoers. The evildoers.
That's a big cleansing.
Ethnic. Ooh, that's a dangerous thing to say.
I know.
Why do we want to say that? Why? There are Hasidim in Mosailam. Tanakh, it says all over. There are individuals and there are even nations. Everyone will be judged according to what they deserve. Next page, we turn over here to page 893. V'yoshav ha-metzoreif, amma v'loshan ha-mahod, ki b'ben adam. We're using terminology that we can relate to. Sh'amalach ha-hu yeshev k'shoyfeg liyos metzoreif u'mitaher. The malach will sit and will engage in an activity that we can relate to, someone who purifies silver. K'moshem mitzorfim u'mitaharim es ha-kesef v'nasig v'hu yitar es b'nei levi. Who? Heim ha-kehanim b'nei levi ha-nigoshim al-Hashem oysam yitaher l'chassim v'chem bo'izei. Shema Hashem. Look what he writes over here. He's going to remove from the Kohanim those that disgrace Hashem's name. Not every Kohen will be eligible to serve in the Beis HaMikdash. Kohanim that are mevazeh, disgrace the name of Hashem, will not be eligible. The Yizakeh, or Yisrael, will purify them. Kazad Rakesev, Lios Nikim, Be'anshe Resha. He will purify Sheva Levi from the wicked people. Ve'heim Yula Hashem, Lahagish, Lufanav, Karbon. Karbon is a sacrifice. U'sishura, a gift. The word usishuda means a gift. Bitstaka, kidos uchiroi, like is the law and is fitting. So he's saying over here, an idea is coming to make a parallel.
But
this is going back to what we learned a few days a little while ago, is that the problem in the time of Malachi is they bring Hashem repugnant korbanos, bali mumim. They look at the Mizbeach as a disgusting object, and the service is repulsive in their eyes, and they bring the Kadosh Baruch Hu karbonis that are
changing.
So it's going to be completely different. They're only going to bring Hashem the best. Their attitude will be completely different. Pasuk Dalet V'Arvel Hashem. Oz, then Yerav Hashem Tishudas Yehuda, the gift of Yehuda. Kimi Olam Hemi Mei Moshe Uchrisharim Kadmonios Hemi Mei Shloimei. Shekiva makam karbon asem b'rotzim Hashem accept the karbonis with will v'yardu l'chayish and Hashemayim v'ochla al ha-mizbech. So isn't it amazing? You say this passage a million times. V'yarvel Hashem min chasidot v'yushon k'vila m'choshim karbonios. And you just say it will be sweet. But it's amazing. If you don't learn the Tanakh, you don't learn this in the Sukkos Dov, you don't see it, you're missing the context. The context is, what do you mean it will be sweet? What do you mean it will be sweet in the future? It's always sweet. It's sweet today, it was sweet during Moshe. No, you don't know that during the time of the Bayis Sheni, in the beginning of the Bayis Sheni, Malachi was giving Musar to Klal Yisrael, to the Kohanim, why are you bringing on the Mizbeach Ba'alei Mumim? Why do you have an attitude that the Mizbeach is disgusting? And the result of this attitude and the result of bringing Korbanos that were defective was HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it was not sweet. It was bitter to Hashem to accept these korbanos. But now in the future, when there will be a change in the frame of mind of serving Hashem, it will now first be sweet. When we read this part, this is the problem that an entire Nusach Atzilah, at least for me, I can't say for you, mostly is you read these expressions. Yeah, you read this, and you look at the arts for the translation, it's very nice. What does it really mean? You can translate the words the best that you can, but without the context, without understanding where the Anshei Knesset HaGadolim extracted these words, they're just lifeless. So you say this pasuk, "V'yavar Hashem minchas yudav yishulayim." What does that mean? Well, when you understand the context, that in the beginning of the Bayis Sheni, when they rebuilt the Beis HaMikdash, it was not sweet. They brought korbanos. They brought korbanos. They served Hashem. People were lining up around the block and wanted to bring a korban to Hashem. And the Kohanim, in their minds, they were saying, they looked at the Mizbeah like a butcher shop, like a kapara center. And it was dirty. And, oh, you have an animal, this blemish and that blemish, this animal, who cares? This is a disgusting place, a disgusting job. And listen, that's our fate, our lot in life, to be involved in a butcher shop. Like you go, when you read this passage, I read this passage, ordinarily, oh, Mashiach will come, it's going to be beautiful, the arvala Hashem, minchas, yudah, be pleasant, the korbanos. Okay, it's very nice, but we're missing the context. You have to understand.
How could you ever forgive this?
What?
If you looked at the question in
Shemaneskir, yeah.
How would you know?
You don't know. You have to go look at the art scroll. At least they tell you the number. They tell you the number, and they tell you to go to Malachi. Malachi 3:4, and then you read this, and then you read what it says in the Mitzudos, so that doesn't even make any sense. Oh, if you go back to Perek Beis of Sefer Malachi, oh, you learn the whole backdrop to what's going on, and you learn that it was a major, major issue amongst the Kohanim, who had a horrible attitude towards the service, and that trickled down to the people who they were serving, that korbanos is a disgusting service, and it's just a butcher shop. And if we bring it, animals that are blemished and this and that, everything that we learned. Oh, now I understand.
But and how did you learn your own to do this all
now? Well, that's why you have to learn Ach. That's the crime of our education system, is that we don't have, you know, the patience, the stamina, and the will to really be yorei lo'im koshel dar. You can't blame anyone. You can't, you know, how much time is it during the day? I remember I grew up with a certain person, you know, they were very involved in a certain yeshiva, very, very modern, Orthodox yeshiva. And I went to a regular yeshiva place where they taught you nothing, basically. I should say that. They, you know, I remember they taught you Gemara, and they taught you Gemara, and more Gemara.
They taught you how to learn, and that's what they taught you.
You know,
they gave you the keys to learn.
Okay. I hope so.
Okay.
They gave us big hasanos, which is priceless. That is priceless. They definitely, Baruch Hashem, I feel blessed, the place that I went, they definitely presented us a hasanos, a yearning of greatness. That The Torah is great. It is infinite. And what you can become, and what there is to know, and the spirituality and the chokhmah is beyond belief. That is absolutely a priceless blessing, which I didn't appreciate at the time. And now when you get old and you look around what goes on in the rest of the world, they don't do that. Unfortunately, you go into some day schools, They'll hire even people that are not Shomer Shabbos to teach you Talmud, because they can't get anyone to teach. There's no one to teach. So what are you going to do? So you have someone who knows some Aramaic, you give them an Arsha Gemara, and they teach you Talmud. Okay, very nice, they teach you Talmud. They're not going to give you the Yirah Shemayim. They're not going to give you the She'ifas. That's the most important thing in Chinuch. To give a Talmud the She'ifas, the yearning. The yearning,
Cheshkas HaTorah.
Right, the love of Torah, the love of Torah, the yearning to achieve, to know, the thirst for knowledge, to give the child a thirst for knowledge, of Torah knowledge, all wrapped up with Yirah Shemayim. Unfortunately, not every Rebbe has the skills for every single student to click. To click. You know, hopefully you go through the whole system, you'll click someone. Every Talmud will have a Rebbe that will click. You'll have two of them, three of them, four of them that will click and open up their eyes. And then they have the rest of their life to learn and to grow, blossom, and achieve. Okay, it's a very tricky thing. It's a very tricky thing. I know this person. He was bothered with this person. He was very involved in this issue, and he used to tell me the curriculum of this issue. And he listed off for me, like, they give 20 courses. They learn math and Diktuk and Jewish history and this and this. He almost put me down. Oh, what are you doing? You just learned a little more here. And like, really? Where are these people today? Where are they today? If they taught them everything they needed to know, you should be the Gedolei Hador. They should be out there all over the place, the Gedolei Hador. What happened to them? Where are they? I don't know where they are. I don't hear about them. I'm not saying that amongst my chevra we have Gedolei Hador. I'm not saying that. But I think most of the people in my chevra, the Shomer Shabbos, Baruch Hashem, the Shomer Shabbos, they learn, they try to stay out of prison. You know, they try to do...
Mostly successful.
Okay, they try not to get caught. They try to be, most of the people I know, they try to be good people. And interestingly, now, they're a little older, some of them have really developed in ways that no one expected, in really outstanding ways. Okay, and these other people, I don't know, Halavan, maybe they're very successful. You can't have it all. You can't have it all. You have to focus. You have to know your crowd. You have to focus on what you could achieve. This pasuk is an amazing pasuk. If you really, the way that the Mitzvah study explains the pasuk, you can't really appreciate with the pasuk when we say this so often, the arva, it will now, for the very first time, or in the law, will be pleasant. Hashem will take delight. It does. Why? Because there was a period of time in Jewish history where they were bringing korbanos. They were bringing korbanos. But the problem was that the Kohanim, not the people, the Kohanim had a horrible attitude. And that horrible attitude trickled down to the people. It's an entirely different appreciation of the pasuk. And then when it says, Kimei Olam, according at least to the Mitzvah, he's taking it from somewhere, like the time of Moshe Rabbeinu and the time of Shlomo. Why dafka Moshe Rabbeinu, Kimei Olam, Yimei Moshe? And because these are the two times when Moshe and Aaron, they went into the Mishkan, they brought on the days of the Miluim, and they offered the Korbanos, and they were misfollowed. The Eish Min HaShemayim came down, Min HaShemayim, to show that HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepted with Rotzon the Korbanos. It says these Pesukim that the Eish Min HaShemayim came down to the account of the Korbanos by Moshe, and by Shloimeh, when he built the Bayis Rishon. So you say, Kinei Oilon, days of old, that refers to Moshe. When Moshe went in with Aaron, the famous Rashi, they went in and the Shlina didn't come down. Aaron complained to Moshe, Moshe, you embarrassed me, you set me up for this. And Moshe went into the Hechel with Aaron, they were misfollowed, and the Eish Yordam and Hashemayim, and they said, V'hinoyam Hashem Elokeinu, and they said, Berchos Kohanim. He's taking over here to a direct episode. Uchashanim Kadimonios, something very similar happened in the time of Shlomo HaMelech. That is called sweetness. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the attitude is a good attitude, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepts this. Okay, let's see Rashi. Rashi, back on the previous page, Rashi Pasuk Beis. Pasuk Beis. Okay, it's a little Beis. You have to look for the little Beis on page 890. 890, three lines on the left side, in the left column. For some reason, that Beis is in Rashi letters and it's in parentheses, probably because it was not in the original manuscript, and for somehow it got deleted and they had to add it. Umi mechalkel, who will sustain? Umi yochil, umi yisboil, who will be able to carry the weight? Okay, it's very interesting because we say this every single day three times. Mechalkel chayim b'chesed. We use that term mechalkel from the perspective of Hashem. Hashem provides. Hashem sustains. Mm-hmm. The word mechalkel comes from the word koil. Everything. HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides everything with kindness. And here it says, Umi mechalkel. Here in this term, it's not using the word, it's the same exact word, mechalkel, but it's been used in a different form. It's been used from the recipient. Who will be able to accept? I mean, isn't it, what's the word? If we say every single day, mechalkel chayim b'chesed,
who can sustain, in other words, who can stand up to this examination, this purification?
Who can, so that's from the recipient. In the Shemayna Esher, the word mechalkel is used from the form of the giver. Hashem is the provider. Hashem is mechalkel. Hashem provides. In this pasuk, it's describing who can survive. Who can be a recipient, who can survive the experience. So it's from a different perspective, not from the giver, but from the receiver.
In Hebrew, often there's emphasis given by repeating the word.
Kol. This is parasha. It says you rack. Adam Ram. It's in Rashi. This is parasha. Which word is it? In the beginning of the parasha. I forgot. Hazim. Some of the Hazim is also a word which Rashi quotes that exact idea. When you repeat a word twice, like yirakrak, Adam Ram, and other words. So here it's lechal kel. Of Mordechai, I never appreciate this. He's saying the same exact principle. It's kol, which means everything for real, not just in a make believe. And you say in the Nusach of Tila is
Kol
Sorcha.
Is the compliment on the line?
No, he's not.
Oh, okay. I think the word, the modern term for economics is what? Kalkala.
Wow. Okay, Kalkala. Sustenance.
Kalkal.
Two, a repetition. Or Mordechai is saying that it's really a repetition of the word kalkal. Like you say, Meloich al kol ha'olam kuloi. The nusach of the yamim noirayim. Why do you have to say Meloich al kol ha'olam kuloi? Once you said kol, that means everything. Why do you have to say nochamo kuloi? Meloich al kol, everything ha'olam kuloi. Repetition. So what's the answer? So the old one answer is that most of the time when you say the word kol, it means roiv, the majority. So you have to say the word kol twice to indicate that it's not just the majority, it means 100%.
Right, that's the darshan on
kol, not the majority. Not the majority. Everything.
So generally, you look around and say, all right, we're all here, but we're not really all here.
So you need to hear also the Chalkel, that you repeat the word called twice. Very good, that we bring the word twice. Okay, mi yochil, who will be able to, what's a good translation? Mi yochil, who will be able to survive, to attain, what's the word to say? Is it say Judaic Press? Do you have a translation from Judaic Press? Mi yochil, how do they translate the words? Mi yochil, who will be able to?
Provide.
No, it means to be sustained.
Abide,
in the brackets, to bear the weight, to carry the weight of the intensity of the moment. Umi ha'omed, umi yuchol la'amoid, uchabayris mechabesim. The malach will cleanse society like with its soap. Kibayris shel mechabesim, soap of professional, commercial. Laundry man, shemavir es hakol hakesem. They purge the entire stain. Ken yavir es kol harisha. That's what he's saying in the Nusach Atfila. Ki savir memshela zada in kol harisha kulo ke oshon tichle. Okay, we allude to this. Isn't it amazing?
That's my favorite.
Ki savir, you're talking like a politician,
yes.
Like a Republican. No, limited government. Kiboyrish al mechabsim, shemaviris kol hakesem, king yaviris kol harisha. Boyris, what is boyris? It's an asef hu, it's a grass. Shemaviris hakesem, belaz, arriba. This is a field day for you.
This is interesting. Herb, savoni fair. Now, herb is an Tarif, right? And it's interesting. That's a stain remover. But it's interesting when it says savon. Now, the Hebrew word for soap actually is savon, which is very similar, right, to this old French word.
Soap. Well, the shine barbers dover hamid tzach seyach hamid tzach seyach umitan. The word tzach seyach ordinarily means to shine. Right? What? Polish. It doesn't mean to purge the stain. It means to polish. To polish umitaher kimo levare levav the pure.
So repeat it.
Tzach tzach. Which means to polish. So it's interesting that it's not. First he starts by telling you that he won't.
Tzach tzach is to brush.
What?
Tzach tzach is to brush.
To brush. You're a dentist. When you go to the dentist, they clean your teeth. So they do. To first, they spend a half an hour. And then, at the very end, okay, we're now going to polish your teeth.
Yes.
And they take out a different thing, and they, what flavor would you like? Cherry, correct? So there's a whole different art. The polishing is an entirely different thing. This first the purging of the dirt, of the stain, and then there's the polishing.
But
so
it's one of those double words, which means it's an extra stain.
Oh, right. So we had that before also. Okay, so okay, obviously it seems over here there's a lot going on. Over here there's mechalkel, there is sustaining, and then there is the purging of sin, and then there is the polishing of the neshama. There are many different elements taking place in here, liachos hayamim. It's fascinating. It gives you a whole new meaning to the chalkel. It's interesting because, you know, our nusach atzilu, where did that come from? This is, I always say, the Chaim Kanievsky Shlita, maybe, Rafur Shlema, he's very into this. He thrives on showing every word in the nusach atzilu from which pasuk it was taken from. We think that, you know, the Anshei Knesset Agdol, they just sat around and they wrote the nusach. They didn't do that. They didn't make anything new. The entire Nusach HaTfila was plagiarized, so to speak. They extracted expressions and words from Tanakh.
Yeah, the
Archbishop of Sudurim has the Maramukhaim. Right, but you know, the Maramukhaim are just very general Maramukhaim. They're not necessarily, you know, the exact, you know, some of them, you know, there's more to it. But it is, you don't think about it all that often, that Mechalkel Chaim B'chesed, what exactly does that mean? What exactly is over here, when you read this pasuk, you get, again, another incredible insight in what Mechalkel Chaim B'chesed, and the insight we hear is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for us so much chesed. If you take what we learn over here in this pasuk, and you read the Rashi, and you read what's happening, that the Malach has come, and the Malach is who could survive this Malach? The Malach is going to purge, he's going to cleanse, he's going to polish, this and that. And who can do? So you need a special siyata d'shmayo, a special injection of adrenaline or a koyach to be able to withstand, to deal with what the Malach is going to do. And when we put this into Nusach HaTfilah, Mechalkel Chayim B'chesed, it takes on a new meaning. Is that Hashem, He does for us so much chesed, we should really just wither away in shame. It's like, you know, the kisufa de nahama, the bread of shame. The only reason why Hashem wanted to give us to do with man kindness, olam chesed yibane, the Ramchal. Hashem created this world in order to do chesed with the klal Yisrael, with the world. So why didn't Hashem just bring every neshama into Gan Eden, into Gan Eden? Because then if we come to Gan Eden, we would have no pleasure because we would not have earned our keep. We need to come to this world to have misyonos in order that when we come to the next world, we should have satisfaction in the benefit of the next world. But even after all that said and done, Hashem still, He does a lot more than we deserve. To the point that in this world, if we really were able to understand what's going on, we would be ashamed beyond belief to how much chesed Hashem does with us every single moment. And therefore it says mechalkel chayim b'chesed. Hashem doesn't just sustain us. He gives us the ability to survive the chesed. that he does with us. He does so much chesed, it is the human nature that we should be humiliated beyond belief. He's so good to me. When someone is very good to you, aren't you embarrassed? Someone is so kind to you, they lavish you with gifts and money and honor and everything you want. Like, I don't deserve this. Like, what are you doing over here? Hashem does that every single day. So how is it that people walk around with such chutzpah and as it's panim and it's not enough? More. It's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, part of his kindness is he gives us that ability, the chalkel. He gives us the ability to carry this. Isn't that what it says over here? How it possibly is the word mechalkel? Umi mechalkel us, yon bo'o. Umi ho'i med behera us. Who'll be able to stand witness what's going to happen? Umi hu ki. Guess what? That day has to come already. That day, to a degree, has come every single day of our life. Every single day of our life is a day of Ha'omei Beheiro Oisoi, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done for us incredible things, and things are happening around the world which we really have no, we're just blind, deaf and dumb to understand what's going on. But this is an evolving process in the world of the Gilui Kavod Hashem. For the last 1,952 years, this pasuk has been is being fulfilled every single day. It's an evolving process. How are we able to survive? The answer is that Kadosh Baruch Hu gives every single one of us that koyach. That's all part of the chesed.
There's no purpose in the world to create us so we can survive.
So you're saying it has to be?
Otherwise, what's the point of creation?
You're saying that it has to be? Well, nothing has to be. I mean, it can be to
so
a lot.
So he created a world, created people, things, you let them die because he's not supporting them. So what's the point?
He can support us in a much more diminished fashion. Look at the third world countries in this world. What do they have? They have nothing. Nothing, literally nothing. They survive, they're alive. Maybe they're even happier than us, who knows? But they're alive, they're living, so look what we have. Look what we have here in this country. You have indoor plumbing, you have air conditioning, you have a comfortable chair, what to eat.
So we're like the 99% on the world.
So everything Hashem gives us is, and even the people there, the third world countries, they could have a lot less also. And they'll survive, they'll live. And yet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given an enormous amount of kindness, and part of that is that they were able to accept it. The neshama, if it really understood what's going on, is so shamed, it wouldn't be able to pick itself up. That's how the word mechalkel is being used here in this pasuk. And if you take this word, which doesn't appear too often in Tanakh, and you inject it into the Shemoneh Esrei that we say three times a day, Mechalkel Chayim B'chesed, it takes on a whole new meaning. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't just sustain us with Chesed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us so much Chesed that he needs to sustain us with the ability to accept the Chesed. I mean, it's a whole different approach to the pasuk. All right, we're out of time, so let's use one more very short pasuk to finish up this. One more pasuk Gimel, v'yoshav mitzoreif yifneh mikol asakav liyos kitzoreif hamitzoreif umetaher kesef. Okay, he will turn away from all his other business to be fully engaged in purifying Klal Yisrael, Sheva Levi. There must be something much deeper in this Rashi, which Mishnah we'll see next week. Okay, take a very short break. We're going to learn now Hazinu, and a little bit about Sukkos. No, so the schedule is as follows. The Mir Tashem, today is the last year before Sukkos. There is no Shir on Sunday, no Shir on Monday. The Mir Tashem the next year, for those who want to participate, no pressure, of course, anyone, is the first day Chol HaMoed at 10:30.
Where, who's Sukkah?
Right in the Sukkah outside. There's a sukkah right behind the outside. You can have a coffee, you have a nice sukkah here in the shul. Right out that door, there's a sukkah. At 10:30, Emir Sashem on Thursday and Friday. If I can't make it, for whatever reason, everybody else will give a shul.
So why don't we go to the
Okay, we'll as of now, 10:30 on Thursday, Friday.
I guess.